welcome to a brand new episode of the internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the one, the only Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, a.k.a. this show's frontman and main host.
Again, welcome. And just to get things off on a weird foot, so to speak, just want to let you know that me and Sasha didn't get a chance to record this weekend, but since a few things did happen this weekend, or a few things did come out that I did want to talk about instead of skipping over this week again and everything else. And one of those things is the fact that I did get a chance to see Dune Part 2. And right now, this is one of those types of movies that has split, I don't want to say the fan base, in any way, shape, or form. You have the fan base being is those that went, like myself, saw the I think it's the 1984 version. Or let me say it like this. The fan base over this has been split, I want to say, four ways. There are four camps to this. Like a lot of things that have been adapted by books or from books. One is the folks that I'm not going to see the movies because I enjoy the books. Or they're going to see, they love the books no matter what. And then you have folks like that will never read the books, but they're going to watch the movies. And you have folks like myself that, well, I'll put it like this. This whole thing, I'm trying to divide it into groups, yet it's kind of hard to put into groups. The groups are, in regards to this, the folks that like the 1984 version, the folks that like the early 2000, late 90s, early 2000s Sci-Fi Channel miniseries version, and you have the folks that love this version, or Dune, the 2020s two-part version. Now, what camp do I fit in? I really enjoyed the 1984 version, the 80s version of this movie. Granted, you're going to have folks that love the books. Did I read the books in regards to this? No, I did not. I didn't read the books at all when it comes to this. This particular, I think the original 1984 version, and at least this version, the 2020s version, covers the first book. I will say this. I tried to read the book. The book is dense. Regards to stuff. And what I mean, there are folks that love this books and these books, the series, and have really gotten into it. But the book is dense because it has, unlike other books that have languages, whether it be like Watership Down or Lord of the Rings or something like that, they have their own speech, or there are races in that series that have their own speech, their own language, etc., etc., etc. Or I'm going to go back and say it as well. Even Battlefield Earth had its own language in a way. But you have the hardcore books, the classics like Lord of the Rings, Watership Down, that have that language, that difference, that where whether it be Elvish or the rabbits having their own words for things in Watership Down. It doesn't weigh the book down that it, you get an idea of what they're talking about, or the fact that you're not really going back to a glossary to find out what these words are, what they mean, what the context are, in regards to it. Where in Dune, there's a chunk of the book that is a glossary. There is an appendix and everything else. And you're constantly, you're not just doing it for a sentence. You're not doing it for a word. You're doing this for sometimes what it feels like an entire page. Or it's just not just one time on a page. You're not worried about it for another 10 or 15 pages or 20 pages. You're doing this two or three or more times per page, sometimes in the beginning of the book, and it was such a turnoff. That's why I think the modern movies, the 2020 versions, the part one and part two, have done so well, is because they could incorporate that those languages and have the subtitles on the screen. Yes, whereas something like the 1980s version, you lose some stuff, and you gain some stuff, and same thing with this. I think they lost a lot of stuff. Some stuff dropped out. I might want to check with Uncle Tony in regards to the movie, you know, trying to get the ebooks for this. That way I could try to plow through them. That way I could have a better understanding of the movies and see where the 1984 movies didn't do some things well and where the 2020s versions, both parts, do something well, or what the 2020s version, the one that came out a few years ago, and this one did well, what they left out, what they left in. So, like I said, there's a few things that I enjoyed from both, but I enjoyed the 1980s version way better. Yeah, I get it. Did you guys, did you watch the new movies? What you guys, you all think about this? You can always leave us a comment down below in regards to it. The effects were wonderful. It does, I said, this, granted, spoilers, I'm spoiling things, yet I'm not. It does do a lot. The it being two parts does a lot better, meaning it gives the film a lot more character development in regards to it. I don't think there'll be a third version. Yet, one of the things I want to check the books. If the books are have certain things that the 1980s version had, meaning in the 1980 version of the movie, they had a weapon that they were able to use their voice or sound in regards to as a weapon, a way to weaponize their voice. And in the 80s version of Dune, Paul, the main character, is given, okay, we're going to, Paul, you're going to train like 10, 20 people. They're going, that 10, 20 people is going to train more people, etc., etc., etc. Whereas the 2020s version of this film, you didn't really see that, but it's where seeing those movies back to back, the new and the old back to back, and reading the book, I'll be able to filter through in regards to that. So, but all in all, I did enjoy myself. It was long. Together both these movies might be close to 5 hours, because this part two, Dune part two, is 2 hours, 46 minutes long. So, yeah, seeing it in theater, and like myself, where theaters are cold, and me being a type 2 diabetic and having to go to the bathroom a lot, especially if I drink a lot, therefore, well, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom a lot. So when the bundle is there for both the first and second movie come out, I might pick it up. That way I'm able to watch them together and compare them with the 1980s version and the book that comes out. I'm sure there's a plethora of lowdowns on YouTube to let you know what is missing from the movies in regards to... I know there's a lot of folks that love the book, love the sci-fi miniseries, but hate the 1980s version. There was a lot of stuff that a lot of folks said there were issues with it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this, but it just seemed a little long, but I was happy to see a few things in it. There are some things that seem to gloss over. I could say that in regards to what was wrong with it, well, the fact that it switched to English and the Fremen a lot, or didn't that, but that's not as anything like that. But still, for me to give proper criticism on this to what is wrong, I would have actually have to have read the book. And one of these days I will, whether it's a physical copy that I could pick up from the library. Maybe I might just do that to see how everything compares, and having that nice solid hardcover in my hands, and maybe read it instead of watching a bunch of YouTube videos and stuff from Paramount Plus or Vudu on a nightly basis, and actually read a book. And so let's move away from... Oh, no, I want to give it at least a solid 7 out of 10. So it's fair. Go watch if you want. If not, wait for it to come on streaming. Now, let's proceed to the next little bit of topic. Now, last time me and Sasha got together, we talked about the Borderlands trailer. And I might have given an update or two in regards to... what was being said after me and Sasha spoke about the Borderlands trailer last week. More stuff has come out over, and concerns have come out, one of which I'm going to dismiss, and I won't say debunk, but I understand the concern. One of which is that, granted, these are rumors, take them as you will, because folks have been complaining on the the Borderlands trailer's actual video on YouTube. As I've seen through screenshots and everything else, it's standing with like 45,000 likes and like 67,000 dislikes. And from what a lot of people have been telling me, the comment section is full of questions and hate, and Gearbox and those behind the movie are not answering. And because of these questions, these concerns, and everything else, not to mention, Gearbox is being sold. And one of the things that I've been hearing is there's the possibility of Borderlands 4 being delayed a few months, because from what has been in the rumor mill, it would be coming out September the 13th, about a month later, month after Borderlands movie has come out. So, who knows? Things are not looking good. And one of the other aspects of everything is the celebrities behind this are not promoting the movie. They're not talking about the movie, which is a severe concern. Now, let me hit pause for a moment, because I need to see when a particular movie is coming out before I make an official statement on my own. Now, I just looked it up. Part of what people, like I said, the celebrities behind it, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jamie Lee Curtis. Everybody is not talking about it. But the only person that's talking about anything right now is Jack Black. And he's talking about Kung Fu Panda. And in his, a lot of folks are pointing out in his interviews, he's talking strictly Kung Fu Panda, but not anything about Borderlands 4, which is leading some folks to speculate that they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to bring their fans to see this movie, to see Borderlands 4, or the fact that the reason why Jack Black is not talking about it, or why no one's asking Jack Black about this movie, is because, they know it stinks. Two, they're telling, like, someone like Jack Black is telling the, in the junkets, the press junkets, that you can ask me anything, anything, but right now, the Borderlands movies questions is off limits. Now, here's where I want to say things are getting a little bit speculative, because some people pointed out that the person who's playing Tiny Tina in Borderlands is talking and promoting the movie, but the other actors and actresses are not. The thing is, yes, Jamie Lee Curtis and Kevin Hart could be talking about this, but there, since we do not know publicly what the whole, there could be an NDA involved in regards to this, which means you. Their talent, Gearbox and the folk, Legendary could be saying, hey, because this movie is not being released until August the 4th, don't talk about it until the movie gets closer. But as me and Sasha kind of pointed out last week, movies are usually promoted months, if not a year in advance. And yes, the writer's strike and the SAG strike did screw up a lot of things last year, but you didn't hear anything come out in regards to Borderlands 4. You might have heard Jack Black. I have to look into it. Because a lot of folks are coming out like, hey, Jack Black's not talking about Borderlands 4. He's talking about Kung Fu Panda. So there, I want to at least do my own research to see if there are videos of him saying, yes, I'm doing, you know, I'm a part of Borderlands. Especially dating back to the Mario movie, him talking about the Mario. Yeah, next. Meaning, like, if he's talking about the Mario, him playing Koopa, King Koopa, and saying, next year about this time, I'm going to be playing, you know, I'm returning as in Kung Fu Panda 4, and then after that is Borderlands. So, but beyond that, you don't see a lot of this. But for now, that's what's concerning some folks, and I can understand that concern. When someone like Jamie Lee Curtis, someone like Kevin Hart, or someone like Jack Black are not talking about this, and is a lot. It says a lot. Either they're doing this for a paycheck. Granted, from what I heard, Kevin Hart got paid $24 million for his role in Borderlands. And some of the Twitter feeds that have been posted up on, like, YouTube is him, like, promoting his stand-up, him doing stand-up in certain locations and so forth and so on. Nothing's appeared on Jamie Lee Curtis's Twitter, so forth and so on. But we probably won't know until sometime down the road when it comes closer. But what I will give a lot of the folks credit for in regards to it, I could see the point in regards to what they're saying in regards to the celebrities not talking about it. And because, as stated, the person who plays Tiny Tina did share the trailer, did share everything else, in essence, started talking about it, or at least was aware of it, where Jamie Lee Curtis and Jack Black and Kevin Hart blatantly ignored it. So that does say something. They could have at least did that to make their fans aware of it. So I can understand where these points are being made. I just want to wait until right now, as August is right now, it's March. August is not quite 6 months away. It's 5 months away. Give it another 3 months, 2-3 months, and let's see what's going on. Because these celebrities, these folks that are these big name folks, are going to start to say something. If they don't, up until the movie starts, or other than showing up on the red carpet, in regards to this film, it will say a lot. If I didn't say it before, I will say it now. And that is, there is a high probability this movie will fail. And the thing is, they will, the Legendary, if not Gearbox, Randy Pitchford, are all going to say it is the folks that did not come out to see it is why. Yeah, that's why the movie failed, if it does. And I'll be the first to say, yeah, that's why the folks didn't come out. They saw the trailer. They didn't like it. Therefore, virtually no one came out to see it. They're going to wait till it drops on a streaming service and watch it that way. That's number one. Number two, beyond that, no one's promoting it. You didn't, Randy, you didn't promote it. You didn't push it. Where were you a year prior when everything was done? Where were you pushing out photos? Pushing out set photos, at least leaking some of the, I know you don't want to leak a lot of stuff when the film's being made. Why didn't you leak at least some of the set pieces? Why didn't, like the mask, some of the outfits, so forth and so on. At least leak some things that are not going to be spoilers. Some along those lines. And I'll be pointing the fact to Jamie Lee Curtis, Kevin Hart, and Jack Black for not promoting it more. Not putting it on their Twitter feeds. And so forth and so on. Heck, recently, about a few days ago, Jack Black was trending. Why? Because he did a cover of a Britney Spears song. But beyond that, going back a month, 2 months ago, nothing's talked about on his timeline in regards to the Borderlands trailer. So, but he is, talking about Kung Fu Panda 4. This is going to hurt the film. And with the fan backlash, that is also going to hurt the film. So, I know you guys and gals out there are sick of me talking about Borderlands and everything else, but let's see what else is on the docket to talk about today. I'm trying to free-forming this episode right now, so let me pause again and bring up my tablet to see what else we can talk about today briefly, and try to keep this episode nice and short for all of you out there. Okay, two last things for all of you. I did check the docket to see what to cover, what else I could talk about. And the two last things are pretty much a little bit of a rant from me about one thing and something along the lines of a movie rumor mill, so to speak. And that is, the movie rumor mill is the aspect of a Labyrinth 2 coming out soon, or being in development. I burped, so if that got caught on audio, I do apologize for that. But how Labyrinth 2 would work, and who would play Jareth, since the great David Bowie has long since passed away, we don't know. Would it be CGI? Would it be live action? What we do know is if it is made, some people will be pretty much complaining that I saw it in one that, in regards to the rumor, it'll be based strictly on nostalgia, which is true. But for the most part, if you all do want to see, I don't know if it's considered an official sequel, but there was a sequel or a quasi-sequel put out, I want to say, 15, 16 years ago, if not a little bit longer, because I think the last book came out in like 2008 or 9. It was a manga, it was a manga type deal that I think Henson put out. They also did a Dark Crystal type book. It was like again, in the style of a manga, like a Japanese manga, Japanese comic. So it's out there. It kind of added to the Labyrinth lore. I didn't read the Dark Tower version. Not Dark Tower, the Dark Crystal version. But, or say the Dark Crystal prequel or sequel version that came out. But I did read the Labyrinth sequel, and it was weird to say the least. But it did have an interesting story. I'm not going to put it here. So if they do it, and it is a Henson production, it would be, I will have a decent, that bar for it would be held at a decent height, because I have a lot of hope and a lot of respect for Henson Productions, because when the Dark Crystal series came out on Netflix a good many years ago, I said on one of our episodes when we were talking about it that I had high hopes because it was a Henson production. And Henson Productions were putting it out. And I think either Big Candy, this was early in our show's life cycle, so it was either Big Candy or Zombie Bunny that asked, why? And my response pretty much was, the reason why is because I'm a Farscape fan. I loved Farscape when it came out. And Farscape had a wonderful combination of prop type stuff. I mean, physical effects and CGI and puppetry. So Henson Productions knows how to interweave all those elements correctly. They know how to do it well. So especially nowadays, where CGI is even better and more weight, and the rant a little bit more is that something that I've always ranted more and more about, and we're kind of seeing more and more, and it's within the video game realm of everything, and that is the aspect of we're doing things as exclusive, yet we're not. What I'm saying is, as of recently, right now, I will say this. I did pick up a quasi-new game for my console, my Xbox. I know I also have a Sony PlayStation 4. On that note, there are some folks. The second Final Fantasy VII remake or redo or reimagining, so to speak, has come out, but it's only a PS5 version, which pissed off a lot of folks that are still using the PS4, but that's a different story. But and the game I picked up for my Xbox, because I didn't realize that it was out, or they were doing it, or it shows how close my ears are to the ground in regards to the video game industry. There's so many aspects to it, and so much that does come across my feed. There was a kind of a remaster for the original, the LucasArts game, Dark Forces. For the folks that you haven't played this game, it is pretty much a best described a Doom clone or Doom reskin in a way, because in the mid to, I want to say the early to mid 90s, if not a little bit later in the 90s, when Doom was popular, all these 3D first-person shooters came out. And obviously with LucasArts had to be doing what they did with like a Rogue Squadron and putting out their stuff. They had to at least put out one of these first-person shooters, and it was Dark Forces. Did I pick it up? Yes, I did. I picked it up, I want to say, in 96, if not 97, when I was working for a local mall. Yes, I was a mall rat, if you want to say that, back in the mid-90s, when it was one of the first jobs I had. And the one of the local stores, think GameStop, or is it like an EB Games or something like that. But I'm going to use the aspect of GameStop because that's pretty much what it was. It sold like computer games. It sold along with video games. It sold like games for the systems at the time, like Sega, Nintendo, and PlayStation. So, and this particular store had, I think it was like a 5 foot, like, or like a 4 foot eight pack or something like that, which was eight games that. Eight CDs, which when lined up was like 4 feet or equivalent to that. It was some weird gimmick like that. And it was a LucasArts 5, like a 4 foot eight pack. And in that was like Day of the Tentacle, Dark Forces, and other LucasArts games in there. And it was all for the computer I had at the time. So I picked it up. It was like 20, 30 bucks. And I spent my adult money for what I wanted. So it was nice to see this game remastered for the system. I have other games that are similar to it for my console. Yes, you're able to use the old school cheats for it. And from what I'm able to tell, it doesn't disable the achievements for the game. So when I play a little bit more, I'll let you guys know how it feels and how well I'm doing with the game and if how well and everything else. But that's not the aspect I want to go into and rant. The rant is pretty much the aspect of it's in essence, it's an exclusive, but not an exclusive. Whereas if let's take a game such that's exclusive for the Xbox, Gears of War. Yes, you're able to play Gears of War on a PC, but it's with Game Pass on for the PC. So it's quasi an exclusive, but not an exclusive. But I don't know if you're able to play Gears of War on Steam or Epic Games. Now, here's where the rant is. You have PlayStation out there. I've said this before in other episodes, I think. Whereas, oh, this is going to be a console exclusive, but not a console exclusive. Let's take, you see it with like God of War. It's a console exclusive. But it's not a console exclusive because you can find it on Steam or Epic Games. The Final Fantasy Pixel Collection is found. Is it a console exclusive? No. You could find it on the Nintendo Switch. You could buy it, a physical copy for the Nintendo Switch. You could also find it on Steam. But will you be able to find God of War or Final Fantasy, the Pixel Collection on Xbox? No. Because Sony would say, oh, it's a console exclusive, but it's not a, it's a console, something like Gears of War is a console exclusive. And you have folks like myself saying, if it's on Steam, then your argument is literally bullshit because it's not exclusive. And when you have right now, Microsoft, granted, there are the shitty exclusives coming out for other platforms like the PlayStation, then it's not, they're extending the hand saying, hey, it's a start, it's nothing that new, but when it's limiting aspects to other consoles, there will be a time where console exclusives are long gone. You have folks like Phil Spencer, the person behind Xbox. You have folks behind behind PlayStation saying this might be the last generation of consoles that we see, but yet you have consoles coming, plans for consoles coming out in the next brand new next gen consoles coming out in the next 2 to 5 years. So there's that. So who knows? Do we believe anything? Just that it would be nice before to have consoles or the corporations behind the consoles like Sony, like placed Microsoft to say, you know what, fuck exclusives. We're not going to do exclusives. We're a company. We want to make money. Yeah, I understand consoles are a thing, but here's for all of you out there, and they're like, yeah, if you're going to play games, you're going to want to play games on a PC because the PC Master Race is the best thing ever. Yeah, if you got a game, you got a game on a PC or a laptop. Well, here's the thing. Sometimes it's hard to game on a, though gaming on a laptop is fine. But here is the thing. You have folks with PC gaming, when something needs to be replaced or upgraded, you're able to do that. I'm not holding any ill will as somebody who is a console fanboy, so to speak. I get it. I understand it. That's the allure, and that's the great benefit of having a PC to game. But then you have folks like me that I don't know how to build a PC. I don't know how to fix a PC. I wouldn't know how to properly replace a graphics card. If the graphics card is compatible with my motherboard, etc., etc. If I get a new graphics card, does that mean I need to upgrade my memory, adding RAM? Am I installing the RAM right? So I'd rather have a console there and able to last me for a little while, the 2 to 5 years. Consoles like the 360 and the Xbox One before it became the X/S were around for a good 5-10 years. Look at the PS3 and Xbox 360. Those lasted well over 10 years. Well over. So, or close to, a lot of consoles last between 5 to 10 years, if not a little bit longer. Whereas PCs, you have to constantly upgrade every 2 to 3 years. I know some people like, yeah, sometimes you're able to last a little bit longer. I'm currently probably using a laptop that is a couple years old. But that's the aspect. With PCs, you're able to upgrade more. Whereas with consoles, you have it all there. I know you can game on a laptop, but if something goes wrong with the laptops are harder to upgrade. If something goes wrong with the monitor aspect of a laptop, you can't easily replace it. Like if a monitor went out if you have a desktop computer or anything like that. Or like with consoles, hey, my TV goes. All I have to do is get a new TV. But, some of you could say, well, you can't really upgrade your console. Well, my Xbox Series S right here that's sitting in front of me has a port in the back where I could add another, in essence, another hard drive. So, in essence, I can upgrade it. I think you could add jump drives to an Xbox Series S to at least store games on that. So, you have that option there. And so, that's one thing. And not to mention, when you have a bunch of folks that are living in studio apartments or smaller, a console and a TV might be better for them than a really big desktop, big and bulky desktop computer. And they could have something similar, smaller, like a small netbook or a small $300 laptop, just so they're able to do email or work-related stuff on it instead of playing games and have a console to play games. You have to figure that. So, are consoles going to be a thing more and more? Yes. Will Sony and Microsoft be going down the road for years to come? Yes. Main reason why is, well, what I just said. Hopefully, they will. I want to see it, and I want to see the end of if Sony and my if I had a chance to have I'm excluding Nintendo in on this. If I had a chance to sit down the execs from Sony and Microsoft, Microsoft would probably agree regards to this. Sony, I don't know, but the thing is, my thing is, I tell them flat out, you guys are businesses. You want to make money. Yeah, you want to attract folks to y'all's consoles. And having the exclusives is that. But right now, Microsoft is the thing that can attract them to their console is their Game Pass for it. And with the stuff from going back to 360 and the original Xbox days, they have that stuff there. You're just pretty much, you have your own version of Game Pass, but it's not as the same. It's low quality, but the only thing you have is exclusives. But if you're a company that loves money, that wants to make money, tell, you know, say, fuck it, give folks the aspect of the exclusives, and be truthful about it. Why isn't these stuff on, like, Xbox, like the Pixel Collection? Give us the actual numbers, saying, well, they're too high. Compare it to, give us Epic Games' percentage that they're taking a cut off of. Because, again, I stated that before, when a game like Dark Forces Remaster is put on a storefront like Xbox Live Store or the PlayStation Plus Store, Sony takes a cut of that sale. If it's $30, they take a cut, whether, let's say, 5% of that. So they're get $1.50 out of each sale of $30. Same thing with Xbox Live Store. If their cut is 5%, they're doing that. Sometimes Steam might do 10% or 15%, depending on what it is. Release the numbers in regards to it. That way we could go, so we as fans that want it on our console could turn to fucking Microsoft or Steam or Epic Games and go, what the fuck, man? Don't do this to us. Drop it down for them, because they're what? You're a competitor? You're putting all these games on their platform, but they're going to rip you off. It's back in front. Jeez. Let us do it. Let us, the fans, make that decision. Yeah, if you want it on, now, if they said the actual number, if that way, let's say, hey, the reason why we didn't want to put the Final Fantasy Pixel Collection on Xbox Live. It's because they wanted to, not just because initially it sounded like they were just saying, fuck Xbox, but in reality, let's say it was a high price, let us know the price. And that way, say the price, and that way, Microsoft go, oh, really? And that way, Microsoft could pull out the receipt saying, hey, we didn't say 15%. Here's the email. Here's the contract that we offered. We were willing to go down to 10%, which is on par or if not less than Epic Games. What is Epic's game? Whereas Epic Games released the percentage, meaning if Epic Games was giving 10% and Steam was giving, let's say, 11%, but Xbox Live, at Microsoft wanted 15 for theirs, but they said, hey, no, we would have dropped it down to 10% like Epic and Steam, but they just looked at the number and didn't want to negotiate because, well, fuck Xbox, right? Then the fans would be like, yeah, what the fuck is the deal, Sony? And it would force Sony the next move and to step up in regards to things. So that's the rant. That's it for right now. Hopefully, again, we're trying to get back on track for Wednesday recordings. If you like this episode and on your platform of choice, please choose to rate the episode or rate our podcast. If this is your first episode, please listen to more episodes before you give an actual rating. For those of you listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, I'm looking at you. But if you enjoyed this episode and you listen to us on Good Pods or Podbean, hit that like button, rate the episode, and rate or hit that like button for that episode. That way, it helps us in the algorithms. That means more and more people will listen to our shows and our episodes. And if you're listening to us on Good Pods, share it to your feed. That way, more people would see our episode. And don't forget to leave a comment too, because that helps more than you know. Though we have like sponsorship through Dubby and a Patreon and everything else, hey, yes, that helps. We want you to do that, and hopefully we'll sell enough to cash in a couple of bucks in regards to Dubby and all that. That helps the show, helps keep the lights on. But sharing, liking, and interacting with us does help. Send us an email our way if you want to have it read on our show. The email is at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. All our social media links and so forth and so on are in the description down below. Feel free to check us out. And hopefully I'll see you guys next week. And depending on how I do it, I might be taking a break on Mondays because everybody seems to enjoy the Friday shows. So I might switch it up to Fridays. Lost Media Fridays instead of Lost Media Mondays. So I might be fiddling with that experiment for right now. That way I could have a little bit more sleep on Mondays or Saturday nights and have our D&D sessions happen a little bit longer. So for now, I'm the Reverend Godfather, a.k.a. the Martinsburg Madman, and
I'm a gamer. I'm wearing a bikini.
See you next time on the Long Coat Mafia.